Recording. I hope this works because I'm recording direct to the roadcaster and I'm not recording on here.
So this is actually not listeners. What I'm going to do, I'm going to play a song, but Dan will not be able to hear it. Neither will I, because I am currently on the road. Okay. But we're going to trust the magic of technology. Dan, this is a banger. So I recently got sent an email, a group in Ghana. They basically did like a Punga sessions, but for Ghana, with some young Ghanaian acts. And whoo, does it have some heaters on it. So this is a song called The Flower by The Continent Live with Avandi and Cool Paul. So imagine you're hearing it right now, like, and it's a banger. Like, it's playing. I can see the levels.
Yeah. Vibing.
What? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Give me an air horn, Dan. Give me an air horn.
Oh, snap.
That's right. Gunshot. Bullet.
Beautiful petals, you're my rose flower. When they want to break that boy, she say it don't matter. You give me bit that sweet feeling. You give me healing. Always making sweets, making no sour. It's like I've been here before. I've been to give you more, making no shots at all. You're looking at me brain, now your view it, they drive me insane. One time, I'm never late up on a one time. See, you're the reason why I always have a go hard. And the joke, we don't feel pain. When we make a lot of things, you're my charge, you're my genius. One time, I'm never late up on a one time. See, you're the reason why I always have a go hard. And the joke, we don't feel pain. When we make a lot of things, you're my charge, you're my genius.
Alright, okay, cool. I'm dropping the volume now. Let's start the show. The vibes are correct.
Bang out.
You guys know what time it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Before I complain, let's just start the show. I need to give people a disclaimer, because I'm reaching deep into the depths. Phil, I've reached the rectum to look for the gusto that we're about to try and put on this show. Because aye. But all right, cool. I'm sure you can. Can you hear this, Phil?
Yes,
good
indeed.
To go.
Great. All right, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, y'all.
Good to go.
Sound of the kingdom.
Let me hear a drum play.
Watch it. Our passports get stamps. But the podcast
doesn't
get trumped, you know what I mean?
Walk one day. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another episode of your favorite podcast. This is Two Broke Twimbos. My name is Danny, that guy, a.k.a. Denias, a.k.a. a.k.a. Denos the Mad Titan, a.k.a. Denford Wigumaraini, a.k.a. Denimbi, My Life, Your Entertainment, a.k.a. I'm done with these streets. what happened this week, Phil? Oh my gosh. God. Give me something, Phil. Hey, man.
Dan, I've been in the bushes. I've been in the bushes taking a 3-year overdue holiday. I finally feel like a human again. But anyway, he's wanted to hear what's on all the unmistakable, the irrefutable, the unquestionable. The straight out of a holiday bill, Phil Chard, aka Flynn Floss, the big boss, aka Pizza P, aka Phil on Musk, aka Filthy Phil, aka DJ Mkara, the end of course. Give me that bang, dang.
Okay. I have it here. It's just. It's a different laptop. So when I added this, I put them in different locations and, you know, muscle memory. It's normally there, but it's not. Anyway, you guys don't care about that. Welcome to another episode of Two Broke Twimbos. I remember what I wanted to mention. I was going to mention, yo, man, R.I.P. Goku, Vegeta, Piccolo, man, R.I.P. Akira Toriyama, the creator of, undoubtedly the greatest anime of all time. It may not be your favorite, but it is the greatest. Dragon Ball Z and all related Dragon Ball anime / manga / all of that. So that's what I should have mentioned in my intro.
Um, I think like one of the biggest gaps in my pop culture knowledge base is manga and anime. I really never got into it. You know what I mean? I think maybe when I find some time,
there's that as well for me.
Start delving deep.
Except like, I feel like I've gotten into it like a tiny bit. Every time I've gotten like dip my toe in it, I'm like, yo, I feel like I would love this. This is like this was made for me, but there's just too much, and I think I sort of missed. But I'm kind of getting into it, like you know, like Jujutsu Kaisen and all that. I mean, you know, it's hitting. But Dragon Ball Z, I mean, come on, Phil, that was a staple. Everyone watched Dragon Ball Z. That's the one people watch where they were like, no, Dragon Ball Z doesn't count, man. I mean, no, you can't say you watch anime if you watch Dragon Ball Z. Everybody watches Dragon Ball Z. But yeah.
I kid you not. I think I watched.
Well,
like
the news came out this week that the creator of Dragon Ball. Well, let's say Dragon Ball because there's so many properties around the whole Dragon Ball Z franchise. By the name of Akira Toriyama, he died this week, aged 68. He created Dragon Ball back in the 1980s as a manga. It sold millions of copies worldwide and became one of the most famous manga until it also became one of the most famous TV shows of all time. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of stories about how influential that show was. But anyway, let's move on. Allow me to start the before we even let's do what we normally do, Phil, and then I'll complain. Let me start off with Africans doing it big / Zimbabweans doing it big. I got one of each. I want to give a big shout out to famous Zimbabwean Axel Jeffries, who's a Zimbabwean driver who has just joined the Iron Lynx team for the European Le Mans series this year.
That's layman's. He's dead. Joined. Come on, learn how to read.
Layman's. He's joined two other drivers to make up a three-driver lineup, and he'll be competing at the European Layman's Le Mans series this year. Congratulations to him. It's a pretty big deal. So shout out to Zimbabwean, who's currently in the Le Mans driving series. That's pretty cool. Also want to give a big shout out to an African.
Inclusive.
And I mean, it's Women's History Month. You know what I'm saying?
What about LeVay? What about the LeVay Racing Championship?
Lerné also. I mean, there's so many. All of
I think it would be LeVay them.
Yeah, but I mean like, yeah. Also depends on what you choose, right? While we're on it, I want to give a shout out to Thames for triumphing at the 55th NAACP Image Awards for Outstanding International Song. She beat out a very varied group of artists, including Ashake, Burna Boy, Libyanka, and Davido, clearly covering the whole of Africa. And Thames took the prize with Me and You for Outstanding International Song at the NAACP Awards.
Maybe this will stop the Nigerians from crying about not winning a Grammy. Yo, they are still salty about that Grammy, bruh. You know the funniest one? I saw a tweet like this week and I wanted to respond and I was like, you know what, let me leave it. And they were like, you know, it feels so messed up that a South African came out of nowhere and won a Grammy on the backs of the platforms that artists like Thames and Asake had been building. Blah, blah, blah. And I just wanted to ask one question. I was like, yo, would you have this same level of cultural understanding if a Nigerian had won for a song called Amapiano?
Yeah, there goes Phil caping for South Africa once again.
Dan, where am I right now?
They give
Dan,
you small.
I know where my bread is buttered. Where am I right now? Okay.
Small visa, and now you want to jump in fights to defend South Africa.
Your wife, what? Where's her passport from again?
Sorry. No, I can't defend South Africa. Listen, I'm trying to get citizenship. You. Anyway, so congratulations to Thames. Yeah. Okay, great. Now I want to complain. Listen, guys. Listen. The last 3 weeks have not been easy. But we have bent over backwards to give you episodes. And I know it's not ideal. It's not the perfect, which is me and Phil sitting down and having a great conversation about something that's going on, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? We tied ourselves into knots. croissants. We are human croissants sitting over here. And when I was not around, Phil went, made a plan. When Phil was not around, I went and made a plan. And I appreciate those people who came out and they said, oh, that was pretty interesting. Or that was cool. It was cool to have something different. But I think most people felt like, yeah, no, I mean, that's cool and everything. But we want the OG. And I get that. I get that. I just really want to like, the alternative was, Asha, we can't record this week. Hmm. So would you prefer that we're just like, yo, sorry, we couldn't record this week? The other thing is, the episode is late this week. I mean, we did tell everyone that we were changing dates. Yo.
It's on time for last year.
I get. Do you want us to say, do you really want us to say like, yo, we failed to give them exactly what they want, so they get nothing? Of course not. So we're doing our best. Right now, it's 10:15. Mm-hmm. We've both just come home after extremely long days.
Yep.
Phil is actually out of the country on holiday.
Well, my holiday ended last week. I've been at work. Like right now, I've come from two sessions. I organized the listening session for Jordan. And then I had to go to an industry session, which I actually had to skip another session to come to the podcast. Tomorrow, I've got meetings, bumper, back to back to back to back. So, Dan, you know, here's another side note.
I literally just left a cocktail that I was hosting.
Wait, were you dressed like this?
No. I was in a full tux. Thank God. I changed while I was waiting for you to set up.
Thank God.
I was hosting the cocktail. Welcome everyone. Have a good time. We got our DJ, da, da, da. Get some drinks, da, 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 da. And then I snuck out just to record the podcast. So this mini rant, it's not an attack on anyone or anything. I'm just trying to say like, yo, we're exhausted. I'm falling off my feet, but we're here for you, our valued listener. Just like we have some level of consistency. It's a little late. I know I'm not going to have the gusto that I'm supposed to have. I already know. I can feel the drain right now. I feel it. But I'm fighting. I'm fighting my insides. Mm. It's a full-on Super Saiyan 3 battle going on in there right now.
Dan is fighting his inside like he just had a week-old curry. You know what I mean? Like he had some sushi at a Dodger at a restaurant.
Speaking of which, it's also been a very rough week because exactly what Phil has described happened to my missus as she was traveling. It's been a rough week. But anyway, nevertheless, you're not here to listen to my problems and you're not here to listen to Phil's problems. Phil, you were excited about something. Were you about to say something?
Jog my memory, Dan, because you lost my train of thought. And now I'm trying to get us a guest on the show.
Oh, yeah.
But now they're like, wait, before I hop on, tell me about your podcast. Because, you know, they have not reached a certain level where they can't just be, you know, bandied.
Send the link.
I'm sending them the about link.
Speaking of which, I'm also getting us another major guest in upcoming, like a big one in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I was talking to our mutual friend and then she was like, oh, well, let's chat later. And I was like, I'll be recording the podcast later. And she's like, oh, snap, you still have the podcast. Okay, I want to put a guest on your podcast. Do you want to interview da da da? I was like, I would love to interview him. He's like, all right, it's definite. I'm going to hit you up, Wayne.
I've actually been bumping into a few people that listen to the podcast. It's nice. You know, it's nice. What was I saying?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So you were just like, you were talking about this listening show that you were at and you were like, oh, okay, cool. If you don't want to talk.
I forget. Right, my brain.
There's a couple of things I want to mention. So we don't officially have talking points. Our producer, he told me that he did them.
Mm-hmm.
I walked in on him typing them,
mm-hmm.
but I don't see them.
Mm-hmm.
So wait. I don't know what that means.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Then I think also we haven't paid him this month. Maybe that's why. Maybe it's like a silent project. Because I sent a bookkeeping message and she didn't respond. I was like, yo, Dan, we've got some overheads this month. How are we allocating resources? And you just left me quiet.
Sorry, Philip. Okay. All right. You guys don't need to be listening to Behind the Scenes podcast business. You want to be listening to some top-notch commentary from two well-adjusted and insightful individuals. So let me get into it. Phil, I don't know if you caught last week's episode. Mm-hmm. We had the outgoing CEO of Trace Studios. He's now the CEO of Zero Gravity Studios out in South Africa. They're going to be making a lot of TV shows that you're going to be seeing, especially if you watch ETV, SABC, what, Mnet, etc.
I did see it, but then I was actually on holiday, so I shall catch up with it when I return.
No worries. But one of the things that we spoke about was the situation between TikTok and Universal Music. Very interesting situation. If you haven't listened to that episode, or you skipped it, or you're very interested in music news, you're welcome to go back and listen to that episode. I was actually telling him that Phil would have loved this conversation because he also obviously has an interest in music news like that. But I just wanted to give an update, a follow-up, if you will, on our last episode, because there is more news about TikTok and music this week. So just to quickly catch you up, TikTok has been undergoing, shall we say, growing pains because at the end of January, their contract with Universal Music Group, which is probably got the biggest catalog of music, so they claim on their website.
No, it's not a claim. They ended their Universal Music runs this.
Yes, TikTok refutes that for some reason, but you know, it's all leverage and negotiating. But yeah, and that contract came to an end at the end of January, which means all of Universal Music's music was taken off of TikTok. And I read an estimate somewhere that's like 3 million, 3 plus 2 million, no, something like that. Several million songs, all right. Anyway, that being the case, there's new news this week.
New news?
Involving TikTok. New news. Just yesterday, the United States Congress voted to pass a bill that would ban TikTok in the United States of America.
Mm.
Now, as you can imagine, TikTok have over a billion users. Mm. 170 million of those users are in America. And probably undoubtedly the most influential to the rest of the world, to the Western world, section of TikTok is American TikTok. Obviously, Chinese TikTok is a whole other story. But yeah, the bill was passed. It's not yet officially law because it still has to go past the Senate. But Joe Biden, the president, says, yo, if it comes on my desk, I'm signing it. So if the Senate passes it, TikTok is going to be banned in America unless TikTok divests, or unless ByteDance, which is the Chinese company that owns TikTok, divests of it and sells it to someone else who America is happy with, because they're like, no, we refuse to have an app that is so influential on US news and da-da-da-da. That's affiliated to the Chinese Communist Party. So that's just an update. TikTok pains continue. And the TikTok CEO, I watched a video of him coming out to plead with the listeners to say, listen, you got to get in touch with your representatives or something, because we can't allow this to happen because your app is going to disappear. And the sad thing is, that's kind of what they were saying. They were saying that TikTok has too much influence over Americans. So what did TikTok decide to do? Influence Americans to reach out to politicians. Think, Mr. CEO of TikTok, what you should have done is made it seem like you have zero influence so that no one calls anyone. And then someone can say, you know what, maybe it's not that big a deal. But anyway, so it's going to be very interesting to watch. It was a majority vote. Apparently the House vote was 352 to 65 with almost everyone, bipartisan support, almost everyone agreeing that, yeah, no, we need to ban TikTok. So yeah, now we wait to see if it's going to sail through the Senate, which many people seem to think it will happen. And yeah, that's it. Okay.
So then you just recited the news. What's your insights then? What do you think is going to happen? Like, are you worried? What is the impact on Risa Tisa going to be after this?
Risa Tisa now has other deals, so she'll be fine. But any upcoming Risa Tisas will struggle. So, I mean, this wasn't really a talking point, it was an update, but I will share my thoughts. A government decides that a foreign app needs to completely lose all ownership. Okay. TikTok has over a billion users. Roughly 12% of the users of TikTok are American. And America feels that you need to sell, ByteDance need to sell TikTok to America for us to allow you to operate. Mm-hmm. Who do you think you are, man?
Not only that. In fact, Dan, we've got some wonderful patrons in our Patreon group. Dan is a patron that shared a clip to Steve Mnuchin on CNBC. So if you saw that clip in our Patreon group, do you mind playing it? Sadly, I can't play it because obviously I didn't move with my apparatus. But there's one interesting clip there. It should be one of the last messages in our Patreon group. Give that a play.
I do have it, yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me play it. It's just, you know.
Because I think we're all trying to understand what's happening here, whether it should be banned, divested, or otherwise. And if it is divested, who may be a potential buyer?
Well, you know, when I was Treasury Secretary, I chaired CFIUS, and CFIUS approved, and I had President Trump sign an order that TikTok had to be sold. And I continue to believe that. So I think the legislation should pass, and I think it should be sold. I understand the technology. It's a great business, and I'm going to put together a group to buy TikTok.
You're trying to buy TikTok?
I am, because this should be owned by U.S. businesses. There's no way that the Chinese would ever let a U.S. company own something like this in China.
Have you already put a group together?
No, I'm working
on it. You're exploring a group.
I've spoken to a bunch of people, but
who would be part of your group?
I can't tell that to you now, but it would be a combination of investors, so there would be no one investor that controlled this. And the issue is all about the technology. This needs to be controlled by U.S.
Let me ask you a very practical question. Start with TikTok.
That's Steve Mnuchin, the former Treasury Secretary. Mm-hmm. And staying on humanity.
So just to clarify, and this is what I find amazing, right? So let's just remove the backstory and just deal with the facts at hand. We've got a former high-ranking government official stating that when they were in government, they influenced laws to force the sale of a company. They have now left government. Now, using the knowledge, relationships, and insights they gained in order to force the sale of that company, they have now put together a group that is going to buy said company. I don't know how they spell corruption in America, but maybe it's different than corruption in Africa. Because this sounds shady to me, Dan. I don't know.
No, I think it's pretty straightforward. This is what I was explaining. Mm-hmm. A government says, for your app to operate in our country, we need to own it. What does that sound like? For your service to operate in our country. Well, anyway. Conversations I was.
You know,
was,
Dan, was, politics was is a circle. Everything is circular. It's circular.
But yeah, anyway, that's the big update that's coming through from last week. Do you want to talk about the Oscars, Philip, or should we talk to our guest first?
I think let's just call out. Let's see if they pick up.
All right. Well, do I have any pull in these streets? Let's see.
You're leveraging my pull, but it should work. Let's see. Pull via osmosis.
I mean, I kind of already have this number.
Okay.
And we last spoke in 2022. It was literally, yo, this is my number. Yo, this is Danny, right? Cool. All right. Saving your number. So this might be awkward. All right. Here we go.
Oh. She just had a message. Ish. Oh, snap. You meant today? 3 question marks?
Well, I guess we move on to the Oscars.
I guess so. Oh, man. That's funny.
Should we mention who we were going to speak to? No, I guess not. No. Well, let's just say she's a... very trending on the Zim streets these days, especially if you in the world of hip hop. But she's not Zimbabwean.
Janzi, call again.
Superstar. Okay, I'm calling her back.
Hello.
Hey, Hannah.
Yo, what's up?
What's going on?
How you doing?
Welcome to Two Broke Twimbos. I'm here with Phil as well.
Hello, how are you, Hannah? I am on the phone.
I can hear. Yeah, that's very good. Thank you. You know, you caught me in a very blonde moment, even though my hair is now purple.
It's 100% Phil's fault. I can assure you it's 100% Phil's fault.
To be fair, he did say right now. And I was just like, oh yeah, like what are you thinking? I might not be, like, that's on me, my bad.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have rapper extraordinaire Hannah on the line. And this was not planned. This was not prepared for. So please accept our apologies. No. But what's up, girl? So
how are you guys doing?
Actually, when Phil sent me your number to call you, I realized that I already had your number and I actually have exactly four texts. There's a four text exchange between us. Have you seen it?
No. Hold on, I'm going to see. I see it. Yep, and I texted lost. I just want you guys to know that I texted lost, just so you guys know.
Yeah, my bad.
I was left hanging.
That sounds like Dan.
We met at Unplugged.
Yeah, it seems like that's. I mean, I'm reading the text now. I'm like, that's what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago, 2022.
I've only been to one Unplugged, I think. Yes. So I think I remember the interaction. My memory is terrible, by the way. Please don't. I don't remember what I had for lunch. So it's a me thing.
I'd like to think I'm memorable, but it's fine. It's all right. You know, sometimes everyone needs a little cut down in their esteem, a little bit of humility every now and again. So Hannah is a rap extraordinaire. She's originally from Zimbabwe, but she's based in South Africa. And she's making her name for herself in South Africa. And Zimbabweans have started to notice. So, Hannah, I don't know if you've seen some of the conversations that are going online where people are like, yo, this girl's dope, da 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 da. My only problem is that they're comparing you to other people, saying, look, she's dope, unlike trash A rapper A or trash rapper B. And that makes me feel bad because I'm like, nah, man, everyone should have their own lane. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to start off there and just say that this is not going to be any negativity or anything like that. This is just like a celebration of you.
Amazing. I love that. Yeah, I think that's so important. Like art, music, it's so subjective and everyone is just doing their own thing, you know? It's for some people. Some of like what I make is for some people, maybe not for others, and that's fine. It's no shade to anyone, no shade to me as well. So yeah, it's funny because in many ways I don't align with some of the very competitive traits that hip hop imposes on people. For those reasons, because I don't really believe in that. So, yeah, I think I'm definitely on board with that. And I think that's exactly where I come from every day.
I'm with that. Pushing P. Positivity. All right.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
No. I'm just agreeing with Hannah. But yes, we're going to have a full episode with Hannah. Talk about her story because we've been meaning to have her on the show. But as it so happens, she just sent a text while we were recording. I was like, you know, actually, we're recording. We're going to drop your new song anyway. I've been seeing you. Hannah's all over my Spotify, Dan. Once again, you know, just all over the Spotify, getting cover features, doing her thing. She got a new situation going on. I don't know how much she wants to share about that, but tell us about the new single. Tell us what people should be looking out for and the new developments in your career.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, okay. I'm a star. Shout out, thank you so much. It's amazing because, man, Spotify, I don't know. You know, Spotify hasn't really loved me in the past. Not the app, but like the listeners on Spotify, I've always like, hasn't been my main platform. So it's really, really nice to see, you know, that platform growing for me. And that's been really awesome with this single specifically. It's like, it's been really, really great. So I'm so glad that it's showing up on your page and everything. Shout out Spotify for the love. I'm just, definitely fortunate for support from, you know, all of these platforms, you know.
You're on the cover of like two playlists, bruh. Like, it's wild.
It's amazing. And, you know, the crazy thing is, like, you never know when these things are going to happen. You just find out. I just found out on the day. I was like, raw, this is crazy. Thank you guys.
That's what's up.
It was such a great surprise.
Shout out to
you. Just wake you up in the morning and just like, there you go. Boom. Didn't ask for no pictures, nothing. They just did it. So shout out to them for that. It was really special. And I think it also was Women's Day when I dropped the single, the 8th of March, International Women's Day. So I think they had like a women across Spotify covers thing happening. Yeah, so that also just made it that much more special. I dropped a new single called Pride. It's the first of quite a bit that I want to do now, this coming year. So yeah, it's just it's a pity song that makes you kind of want to dance. I'm really keen for you guys to play it and to hear what people think. If you have any questions about it in particular, there's so many things I can say about it. But what's your interpretation? If you have one.
Phil, what's your interpretation?
I think it's a different direction. I've heard part of it. I like the new vibe. Hannah, I think you know what I've gravitated towards, like, especially when you... Hannah's actually like a beast with the punchlines, which I really, really love. And I think she kind of gets slept on her punchlines. But it's good to see this. I want to see what you follow it up with. Any plans for visuals?
Yeah, there's definitely plans for visuals. Hopefully those will be out soon. I'm excited for people to see what we did. I don't know when exactly they're going to be out yet. So fingers crossed is quick. You know these things, they just happen sometimes how they're supposed to happen. I think, honestly, sonically, I'm really in the middle of a bit of a rebrand. You know, I always will, like, my roots are very much in hip-hop because I think primarily for me, it's like, it's all about lyrics. That's my biggest focus when I'm creating music and stuff. But as you know, Phil, like I have a lot of different influences, and it's really important for me to just kind of not be boxed into traditional hip hop. To be honest, I think it's kind of boring. And so I've really just been having fun with making the music that I want to make lately. And it's what you're going to hear is going to be different in some ways, but very similar in other ways. I think there's definitely like a thread of like, a common thread throughout. And, you know, no matter what the perceived genre of anything that I'm making is, I think there'll always be strong lyrics and there'll always be a strong message. And I think to me, that's really all that matters.
At least.
At
least. Yeah, no, absolutely. As long as you promise it. It must be very frustrating that obviously as an artist, you evolve, you want to experiment with new sounds, but the people who liked you or who came onto your music, right? They like, they want the old Kanye, you know what I'm saying? And it must be frustrating because, like, yo, I got more to show you. Like, no, I want the lyrical miracle. Give me that. No, check this out. No, the bars. I want. Yeah. So I mean, I won't lie. I had to tell myself that, no, Dan, it's okay. Let's hear what the new direction is. It's fine. It's all good.
Yeah. And, you know, I think for me, in the same way that, you know, some fans outgrow artists, I think artists also sometimes outgrow fans, you know, and it's wonderful when there can be like a transition, you know,
okay.
Or people can start to like something new.
Okay, but, you know, Doja Cat. All right, Doja Cat.
Hey, listen, don't even get me started on that. But yeah, no, I feel like, hey guys, it is what it is. And you know, honestly, the way that I came into music was very, I inherited a lot of labels, fans, listeners, you know, based on the people that supported me initially in my career. And I think a lot of that was projected onto me. And so, you know, I've just made my peace with wanting to, you know, go in the direction that I want to go in, and who comes with, you know. And if that's a fraction of the people, then that's okay too. You know, I can't hold it against anyone. Like you said, people like what they like. And I'm just hoping that people will, you know, enjoy this because it's good. It is good. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm coming from with this. I'm definitely keen for you guys to hear the rest of the stuff as well. I think it's really dope.
What do you mean keen for us? Like, why haven't you sent me the link already? What's happening? Are we beefing, Anna? What's going on? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, we're definitely fighting. Did I not tell you?
Actually, we should be fighting. Because I'm not gonna divulge too many details, but that last night that we went out, you know, I got a lot of angry phone calls the next day.
Hey, that has nothing to do. We actually need to
stop it off. Oh, that was a movie. Anyway.
Phil is right though. We do need to have like a full on episode where we actually hear your story and not just like a, hey, what's up? Hey, what's up?
Absolutely.
And I'm
definitely keen for that.
Now's the time, Philip, before we have to start talking to a publicist, you know what I'm saying?
Word.
Absolutely. Well, technically you should be right now, but you know what? We've got the inside.
Ex-
Exclusive, directly. Exclusive.
Yeah. Also, is this podcast live? Like, is it a live aired podcast or is it like a pre-recorded podcast?
Pre-recorded.
Okay. That's so exciting. It's giving me shits and gigs vibes. I like it.
I'm thinking if I like that comparison. I'm ruminating. It's playing around in my brain.
It's a good one.
I don't know. I'm still 50-50 on it, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
you know what? I'll take it.
Hannah, first and foremost, let our listeners know where they can get hold of you on the socials. And then Dan, if you can, let's cue up Pride. And then
got it ready.
Dope. Hannah, where can our listeners get a hold of you if they want to give us some feedback on their new single?
Absolutely. You can find me everywhere across platforms. My handle is @TheRealNiggist, NIGIST. You can find me anywhere. That's literally my handle everywhere. So please tap in. I've got a new broadcast channel on Instagram too. So a little family vibe going on. So please come through, join. And I can't wait to hear what people think.
Very cool. Here's that new Hannah. It's called Pride.
Every time I decide to swallow my pride, swallow, you remind me I shouldn't be nice. Every time I'm embarrassed, I treated you right. Treated you right. Got me clutching back onto my pride. So every time someone good comes into my life, you the reason that they gotta fight. Twice as hard just to break through the ice. And I know it's all mine. Working on my own time, healing on my own time. And I know you're all fine. Cause I took the fall, I hope you never call. I hope you're losing your mind. It's the least you could do. Yeah, I hope you're losing your mind. It's the least you could do.
Pride is the only thing we got.
Every time I let somebody treat me away, when it's just me and the egg on my face. Every time I run through all of the moments I caved, when I should've put you in your place. It's a shame, I feel stupid for giving you grace. Now I treat everybody the same, and you're rewarded for bringing me pain. And I know it's all mine. Working on my own time, healing on my own time. And I know you're all fine. Cause I took the fall, I hope you never call. I hope you're losing your mind.
I really like the song.
I can hear your Lofonic doing a crazy remix to this.
Shout out to Hannah. The song is called Pride. And shout out to her for answering the call as well. Philip, what do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about.
We come up in these streets
Elon
just
Musk.
Like. I've been talking about Elon Musk. Okay. Let me just talk about it. So today I was hosting a conference with the Minister of ICT, the CEOs of Liquid, Tel One, Net One, PowerTel, et cetera, et cetera. So it was like it was a telecommunications.
Are you
going to
pick up all those names and just dropped?
I didn't drop any names. If you'll notice, I just dropped titles.
Were there any panels about
Starlink? Which? They were all about Starlink, Philip. That's what they were all. It was all, okay, there were three main topics. One, price of data, internet, etc. Two, quality and you know, reliability of internet. But the biggest conversation point that kept on coming up was Starlink wants to come to Zim. Starlink wants to come to Zim. Why are we doing that? So look, you know, I'm all Elon'd out. Thank you very much. Let's talk, Philip, we're a podcast that, are two things we need to talk about.
Before we move on, the reason why I brought Elon up is I had the biggest laugh today. So, Dan, as I'm sure you've noticed, ever since Elon bought X, one of the things he's been doing, to our chagrin because the content has gone to crap, is incentivize creators to post and engage on X and then pay them for that engagement.
Yes.
The other thing he's done is he started trying to lock down exclusive deals. So, Joe Rogan is now going to be posting full episodes on X. Tucker Carlson has been posting his interviews on X. And one another person who recently got fired from CNN was Don Lemon. So he signed a deal a few mm-hmm. months ago and he had finally developed the show. And his first interview for his new show that was exclusively going to be hosted on X, formerly known as Twitter, was with Elon Musk. The show is supposed to come out on Monday, the 18th of March. As of today, the mm-hmm. Thursday, the 14th of March, Don Lemon has been fired from X after interviewing Elon Musk and Elon Musk not liking the questions he was asked. I find that hilarious.
Yeah. You know, there's no VIP section in Doucheville. That's what I keep telling people.
No, you know, Elon Musk
we,
is really
we
African.
All in Bombera.
Elon Musk, just, he wants to be an African leader so bad. Like, just come home.
I can't say anything bad about him because we're supposed to try and invite him to next year's conference.
Can we be serious, please? Can we be serious? He's going to respond with a poop emoji.
Look, he's a major player in the global game, Phil. You never know.
And you know what he's thinking of? Zimbabwe. That's where I need to be.
That's the market I need to be exploring right now.
No, there's a high likelihood that Elon will respond and say, Rhodesia.
I didn't laugh, Elon. It wasn't me laughing. Okay, wait. So while we're on the realm of technology, this, you know, Phil, while we were away from us having a conversation, there's some things that happened. Mm-hmm. And I was quite, people needed our help.
A word?
So first of all, OpenAI announced their video creation tool, Sora. So if you use ChatGPT, if you use DALL-E or any of the image generators, there's now one for video. It's not yet available to the public, but there's been a lot of buzz around it. It's called Sora, S-O-R-A, or weed in Shona. And not weed as in like my weeds, my Sora. You know what I'm saying? And obviously it's got a lot of people talking about AI once again and the usual conversations. Oh, we're doomed. Oh, da-da-da-da-da-da, right? AI is disruptive, which is true. It's just so annoying to see because it's such a generic statement that doesn't mean. Anyway, so I've just seen that people need our ombudsmanship, Philip, because they don't understand what's going on. It's confusing, and I get it because you don't have people who know what they're talking about bringing it up to you. This is no shade to anyone, but I was listening to Six Foot Weights talking about it, and I could see they were very excited and so on. Phillips, when you laugh, it makes it seem like shade. It's not shade. This is not shade. Philip, listen. Tabo Sena was up. Sena wasn't there. Tabo was there. He was talking about it with Nat. And as they were talking, they were like giving an overview. I was like, okay, cool. Overview. Let's hear. And then they went into discussion. And I could see that, okay, there's just a little bit of more information that we can add. You know what I'm saying, Philip? So I'm just going to take a few minutes. Philip, you made it sound like shade. It's not shade. OpenAI is one of the most influential companies in technology at the moment. To quote 6 Foot Weights, very right. Sam Altman, the CEO. Remember, we spoke about him being summarily dismissed and then almost immediately brought back. There was that whole saga. Basically, his company, OpenAI, has been experimenting with a beta version of this video creation tool. And it's been very impressive. It's not perfect yet, obviously, but it is so good. And you would imagine that in the next few months, those little imperfections will get cleaned up more and more. That probably by 2025, it'll almost be impossible to tell whether something is an AI-generated video or if someone really took a video with their phone. So that obviously leads to conversations about, yo, what does this mean for movies, for TV commercials? What does this mean for YouTube channels, et cetera, which are obviously very interesting conversations. We can speculate. I have some ideas as well about what it could potentially mean. But in my opinion, on the whole, the conversation seems to be leading very heavily in the direction of we are doomed because AI is taking over. AI is disruptive. AI is taking over. We are doomed, etc., etc. And people range from, oh no, what if we reach the singularity and all of a sudden artificial general intelligence comes into play and now AI is thinking for itself. Here's my personal opinion on that. And this is not backed by any science, just my opinion. I don't think we will ever reach artificial general intelligence. I think we will get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer, but we'll never close that final. That's my opinion.
I think that there's also,
I wouldn't,
there's also like a philosophical discussion that I think people avoid or maybe don't fully understand, which is that the way humans make decisions is our brain has patterns, right? The same, it's why we have fight or flight responses. It's why psychology exists. I'm being very broad here, so please, like, I'm trying to summarize this and make it very broad so it's understandable. But the reason why, like, psychology exists as a science is because humans tend to make the same type of decisions, or the same cause has the same type of effect. And that is also based on inputs, experiences, nature versus nurture, which is very similar
even
to what artificial general intelligence is. If you feed artificial general intelligence enough information about humans, there's examples of it getting snarky like a human would, because it's copying humans. It's literally just replicating human communication. So the debate about what artificial general intelligence actually is for another day. But we could get
I do want to talk about it actually. So as much as I do say that I don't believe we'll ever reach it, I do believe that we will have something that's functional enough to qualify as close enough to it. So like what you described, we don't even have to go that deep into psychology. Even just if you just, it is psychology, but if you just think of your general, just yourself, if what is it that makes you sound the way you do? It's your experiences. What is it that makes you think the way you do, that makes you act the way you do? It's your experiences. So by that definition, we are somewhat like these large language models, or any big data models, any machine learning models, where there's some data that is input, and then there's an output in terms of how you act. And the more data that's input, the more complex your output. Any patterns of data lead to patterns of actions and patterns of behaviors. So just like what you're saying, I think most of us can recognize that in ourselves, that when I was growing up, my dad liked this football team, and that's the reason I like it now. Mm-hmm. That's a very arbitrary example. But my point is, whatever decision or feeling or thought we have now is based on input over the years, in your childhood, in your adulthood, etc. So who is to say that, just like Phil said, the way we think, or the way our brains work, isn't exactly the same as the way these artificial intelligence models work. Of course, they are much more rudimentary and simple because they are not dealing with, you know, hundreds of billions of synapses and all of that. But what if that's kind of a similar thing to what we're building? I'm not completely closed off to that possibility. And I think I somewhat agree with you that to a certain extent, there is a level of simulated consciousness. But I also do believe that there's a je ne sais quoi, an unquantifiable, an undefinable variable that's over and above the simple matter of data equals output. I do, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know how to explain it. It's just when I try to put these ideas in my head, I'm like, yeah, that does kind of make sense. But I think there is something else. And maybe there isn't. Maybe that's just human ego.
I've also had that thought. My theory is this. So as a podcast, for example, but as a podcast, for example, we've been using Midjourney for a year now. The people that actually listen to the podcast, look at the artwork, will have noticed that we've been using AI to generate our artwork. It's become more detailed, more intricate, but it's been a lot more fun. But guess what, Dan? Dan, do we still have a graphic designer?
Yes.
You see? His job was not threatened. Yes, maybe his billable hours were somewhat reduced, but his job was not threatened because there's a certain level of skill and expertise and knowledge that he has that you simply cannot get from artificial general intelligence and creation tools. And the same holds true for anything else. And that's because humans, skilled humans and in their fields, have a creativity that artificial and general intelligence at this point, and maybe for a very long time in the future, simply cannot replicate. What it is good at is understanding systems, understanding historical data, and analyzing that. You and I, Dan, we use the same thing. Like, I use AI tools or artificial general intelligence tools to just do the dirty work.
Artificial intelligence. Take out the general.
Yeah.
Take out the general. For those of you who are wondering, artificial general intelligence is a term that's used for what we envision something that thinks for itself. So like Terminator, at some point in the future, these robots become self-aware. That would be artificial general intelligence. Or something that's completely thinks for itself. It's no longer based on programming or human input. So that's what we're saying. Will we ever
strictly speaking, machine learning tools? Because AI has just become a marketing buzzword.
Yeah.
Those are the tools that we use, like, for, hey, I've got a press release, it's got to have this information. Do me the format, I'll copy, edit it, I'll add the relevant information. Wham bam, thank you, ma'am. Hey, I need to do a report. Just give me the format that it needs to be. This is the information I need to include. Then I do all the hard work, the creation. Or just help me brainstorm ideas. And then I, as the human, will now make the connection and be like, you know what? If I take this idea, merge it with this and do this and do this, I've got it. And what that allows me to do is just it allows me to work faster, more efficiently, with less disruptions. And that's the same with photography. As Kate Middleton helped us see, or whoever was tweeting on Kate Middleton's behalf this past week, photographers' jobs and Photoshoppers' jobs are very safe. They are very safe right now.
Yeah.
And that is my point. It's like, to just put a bow on what you're saying about, like, it's doomsday. Out of anything AI related is not doomsday. It is actually a tool that's going to help people work more efficiently, work faster. Because ultimately, the goal with life is not to spend 40 hours a week working. Wouldn't you rather spend 20 hours a week working and the extra time spent with your family, spent pursuing life, you know, relaxing, just getting out of the car? And
capitalism will never allow that.
But eventually,
that's been the promise of industrialization for centuries
but
at this
there
point.
Is the promise of more people, obviously the privileged, will have that opportunity to work less hours and have a better quality of life. And also, the sad thing is, artificial intelligence and machine learning tools are doomsday, but they're doomsday for people that are bad at their jobs. If you're not a good photographer, if you're not a good writer, if you're not a good video editor, if you're bad at any of those things, or you just do stuff for demand media gen, it's peak times for you. Because you're not going to be doing well. But for the people that have spent time honing their craft, it's just another tool we're going to use. The same way Photoshop did not replace drawing, did not replace paintings. Photographs did not replace paintings. You know what I mean?
So I agree with you in the sense that if you're bad at your job, the fact that artificial intelligence tool, well, we'll call them AI tools. That's what they're called at this point anyway. These AI tools are now on the market. Means it's going to be peak times for you. As someone famous once said, it's chai. But that having been said, I do think it will affect even those who are good at their jobs. Because I've been in situations where, I would have called a graphics designer to do this. But this is good. I don't need something that's professionally made. I just need something that's very light for a presentation, for example, or for a whatever, and I can just quickly use DALL-E or whatever the case is. And it's not perfect. It's not as good as if I had gotten a professional graphics designer to do it, but it's good enough for what I want, which means that graphics designer, through no fault of his own, it's not that he's bad, but I was able to get some other tool that did it quickly for me, and it's good enough for what I need right now. And I think that's going to happen for a lot of... So think of this Sora tool, right? And I think this is something that was also it was discussed by a lot of people. I remember watching the MKBHD video about it, where he was talking about, like, especially people who use stock footage. You're never going to be able to put in a prompt into Sora and say, give me a feature length movie about The Hobbit, and then you get something cool. No matter how good your prompt is, you're not going to get a full movie. But as you shoot your movie, maybe you realize you need an overhead scene of a very remote location, which is very difficult and expensive to get to. Maybe at some point, Sora is going to be good enough that you can get a very high quality scene of 3 seconds that is exactly what you need for your movie, which means you're now cutting out a potentially $500,000 off your budget that you would have to travel to New Zealand to shoot an overhead shot of da 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 da. Or maybe it'll cut out a couple of hundred dollars from your budget of buying already existing stock footage. Now you're just paying a regular subscription to Sora and you can get that stock footage for your movie or for your commercial. I don't think you'll ever be able to do a full 30-second commercial, but when you're shooting your commercial, maybe you just need to shoot one scene and then you can get all the B-roll footage. You can get all the, you can probably start at some point, not now obviously, but at some point you might be able to do that with Sora. So that will cut down on certain people's budgets. It might cut down entirely on certain people who have specialized in making that kind of content. There's some people who have high quality photographs of the best, like, or little videos of very unique different things. And that's their whole business model, because I know you need this. I can get it for you. Well, now Sora can get it for me. So that having been said, I think that if you're bad at your job, AI is probably going to be a problem for you. Also, if you are unable to use those tools, then you are also going to struggle in that way. And we don't know exactly what's going to happen down the line. But one thing I'm fairly confident of is capitalism is not going to allow for the average person to work less. The assembly line in a factory for cars was done by hand, and now that the majority of it is automated, still,
Dan, I think
either you're going to lose your job.
I think
there's
two things. Capitalism is built to optimize for efficiency, right? So reduce overheads, increase profitability. So already people are working less because people are being hired less. We discussed what's happening in Sports Illustrated. Dan, reporters are being fired en masse, and they're using ChatGPT to generate new stories and articles because it's cheaper. Yes.
So is your argument that if you're fired, that means you can work less and spend time with your family?
No. Your argument is capitalism will not allow you to work less. What I'm saying is capitalism will optimize for expenditure. So if expense...
This is what's going to happen.
If less expense equals less employees, they will optimize for that. If there's a way for them to increase employees and still reduce expenditure, they'll optimize for that. But in this scenario, the most likely example and the most likely scenario is that they're going to increase, or rather reduce, the workforce to increase profitability and use tools to cover the gaps.
So will a person be working more or less?
The people that still have jobs will ideally be working more and more mundane jobs because they're now just copy editing what the machine has spat out.
So what's going to happen is, if it took 50 people to make a Ford in 1950, and then automation came in and robots came in and whatever, and capitalism capitalizes, and now it takes 20 people to make it, it means 30 are fired and those 20 are still working just as hard, if not harder, to achieve. And now in comes AI. So those 20 are cut down to 10. So what it means is those 10 are still working the same amount of work. It's not like you can now spend more time with your family. You're now earning more. You're now relaxing. No, you're working just as... Those other 40 who lost their jobs are now in poverty.
But you're missing the other point I mentioned, Dennis. You've just mentioned the working class. Yes, the working class are tight. But the managerial and upper class, nah. Because I have the resources. I have the means. I'm not going to be working harder. I can just maximize my profitability.
So not the managerial, that's like the owners. Yeah. Managerial, if we have to fire some of you because now there's fewer people or there's now more tools, that you're still going to be working just as hard. The owners of the companies, yeah, of course, they're going to be caking it. But that's always been the case. Even people who owned 500 slaves back in the day were living large, you know? Yeah. So
and
I think on the overall, yeah.
I think back to your original point about technology, and you use the example of films being made. You're very right, but let's not forget that studios had sound stages in the beginning for a reason. Like the creation of sound stages was to optimize for costs because the cost of flying incredibly large and heavy filming equipment and crews and staff and catering and makeup and wardrobe to a location was prohibitively expensive. as technology got more and more advanced and smaller and cheaper to fly, we've now seen people on the drop of a dime. Like, now we have travel vloggers. You know what I mean? Like, half a century ago, a travel vlog would be impossible because, like, you want me to take this camera that cost me $300,000 and fly to Africa? You are mad. You know what I mean? So
I don't know why Africa has to be your example.
Because it's the remote tundra, the dark continent. But and the same is true for anything else. Like, the way nature thing. I think a simple example, let me cut through it, is, I don't know if you watch this video on YouTube. There's a drone that's able to fly at 300 Ks an hour for 6 minutes. And this drone followed the Red Bull Formula One car around the track. Incredible shots.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because it was keeping up to speed. That 6 minutes was an advancement. Before, drones could only fly at that speed for maybe a minute at most. Then they couldn't fly those speeds at all. Before that, at Formula One races, testing, Top Gear, whenever they were getting those incredible shots, they would have to hire a helicopter with a helicopter pilot and then get a camera with a gyroscope that could account for the vibrations and the shake and shoot. So you can see, like, already that's become iteratively cheaper and cheaper and cheaper to do. So the people that make stock footage, yes, your business is no longer viable, but it's necessitated by technology that things that were viable before become obsolete with time. So you just got to move on to the next thing. And let's also ask ourselves honestly,
yeah,
like, in terms of value to society, stock footage, like, are we really going to miss stock footage?
No. Okay, wait, Phil. Wait.
No, Dan. But what I'm talking of the low level. No, I'm not talking about the establishing shots. You know, like when those movies have locations, then they have like an establishing shot of London.
I'm talking about like, SNL. Yes, London. SNL, where they're trying to show. Obviously, it's all in studio, right? But they're trying to make it seem like, oh, it's a school, and then there's an establishing shot of a school. That's all stock footage, man. Where would we be?
Yeah, and I'm saying, Dan. At the end of the day, like, what is the real cost to society? Like, what is, you know what I mean? Like,
this is just like saying when Dali and all these other image generators came out, I was like, I mean, photographers, I mean, let's be real. I mean, we all have phones. I think, Philip, you see, you need people.
No, I think that's different.
I mean, and graphics designers. I mean, come on, look, you just open Photoshop.
I think there now we need to have a conversation about IP, because I think there, I do think people need to be reimbursed for the work that they put in. Like, I was watching a clip the other day of a nature photographer, and this man has got a tripod that he sets up in the river. It's water resistant. He's got a gimbal that he then mounts his camera to that's above the water. Then his lens and the body of the camera all camouflage. And then this man is in full camouflage gear. You'd think he's about to invade a country and he's just taking photos of a duck.
Like, if no one watches it, sorry. It has to be valuable. Not to say that what you did wasn't good, but there has to be value, right? So, okay. Ultimately, I'm saying, and I agree with you, this AI tools are not doom and gloom. You do have to be smart. You do have to be a little bit switched on so that you don't get left behind. Don't be still using an abacus when a calculator's come out. Don't be still using, a BlackBerry when an iPhone's come out, because you'll get left behind. And then now you're wondering, yeah, I don't understand. And then you're that person. So keep up to date. Keep, you know. If you're not the person who does it, hire someone who does it. Or if you're not hiring someone who does it, just be a little bit up to date so you kind of understand. You know what I'm saying? And clearly AI is disruptive. Phil, is disruptive. I don't think
people are talking enough about how disruptive it is.
No one speaks about this enough. I don't think you have to be an expert. And I understand you can be in completely different industries. you could be not that interested even in the movement of technology, but you're just annoyed that it affects you. At least understand just the bare minimum, the basics, so that you know what, for example, you don't work in IT, whatever field you're in, but you know how email works. You had to, because that's how you communicate, right? So just learn a little bit how AI works or AI tools work, so that way you have to use them or where you have to interact with some of these tools, then you're at least able to do the bare minimum. I would recommend that. And especially if you're plugged in, man, dive right in. Dive right in. You know what? I am adopting that policy of making myself seem like the expert on it, even though I'm not. Because you never know what things will happen. For next thing you know, you're called to be a special advisor to the president on AI. Yeah, it can happen. It can happen.
Especially in this country. And this country is very, it's actually very possible.
Anyway, Sora is not yet available to the public. Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, was just saying, hey, give me your prompts. I'll do it for you and I'll post it here on Twitter. So that's what everyone was looking at. Obviously, they didn't post the worst videos. Obviously, some of the stuff that came out that was completely like, what is this? Delete, delete, delete. So they just posted the best stuff that came out. You know, they had the best teams who are working on prompt engineering to make the best possible prompt, to get you the best possible result. That's what you got, all right? But it's still impressive. And I'm honestly very excited to see how things move. Let's talk about the Oscars. We've been teasing it for a bit. Philip, did you watch? Okay.
Dan, I don't know if you caught. I've been in the Sango.
I watched.
And I was deliberately.
I watched.
I was actually annoyed with you because while I was in the Sango, I had to come online to do the artwork for the podcast.
I said, all you have to do is just upload the templates and then I'll do it. I don't know why you insist on not. They're not there. Go and look.
But Dan, how can I upload them?
No, you should have done it, Kudara.
I put them in the folder. They just hadn't synced because I was in the Sango.
You prepare for war during peacetime.
Dan, I went on holiday. My brain was...
You went on holiday. But anyway, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Plus, if you've already got the templates...
But let me tell you about my holiday. Mm. Fun times. So I was at the Kruger. Have you been to the Kruger?
I have not.
So I went to the Kruger. And you know, like the Kruger has quite the reputation, you know, as a, you know, this is one of the premier conservatories in the continent. I think it's like almost 2 million acres or something. Some ridiculous thing. It's huge. And Dan, I don't lie to you. Like where we were staying... Gorgeous, amazing. Like I'd wake up in the morning, they'd be buck, like right there. I'll show you the same videos. Like they'd be right there at dinner. I mean at breakfast, even. Breakfast, dinner, right there. Oh, and we used to have kudu burgers.
At the record show kudu that meat fries, Phil was pointing on an audio podcast, but continue.
Kudu meat. Kudu meat and ostrich meat. Banging. So we'd have that. Apparently there was a massive python. Then there was a crocodile at the lodge, but we never saw it because it was hot. I was also experiencing temperatures of 45 degrees.
Lovely.
Dan, have you ever experienced a dry 45?
Yes. In Dubai. On the airplane.
It was a dry
45 on the tarmac coming from the plane to the airport. It was a very short distance and it felt like a punch. The heat felt like a punch. I remember that. And I checked the temperature and it was 45. 40 something. Can't remember the exact figure.
Yeah. So that was just a brief stroll. I'm talking about you wake up, Dan, and it's 30.
I look, that's your choice. It sounds like a choice.
It's 37 at lunchtime. At 4 p.m. it's 45. You're like, what the hell is going on? Yeah, but besides that, I actually had a great time. Got to detach, got to relax. I feel much better. I feel cogent. I feel like I'm ready to take on 2024. But back to Kruger. Kruger's posited as this amazing sanctuary, wildlife, and I don't like... So I had to wake up at 4 o'clock at then. There's a game drive. Mm-hmm. You leave at 4 a.m. They're like, you've got to get there early because it's too hot. You want to catch nature and its environment. Get there, take a long drive, pay so much money has to be paid. There's a whole queue, everything. We were on this game drive for like 5, 6 hours, 7 hours, I think it was. We saw two elephants, saw two lions that had just killed a buffalo. We saw a carcass that was maybe eaten by a leopard. but the leopard was nowhere to be found. People were camping out waiting for this leopard to come back. This leopard was gone. And we saw warthogs. And all I could think about was, yo, I could have seen everything you guys just showed me at Mukuwizi for $5.
In like 15 minutes.
Like, I could have just
Let's go to Lion and Cheetah Park.
Opposite Jaggers.
Go to Lion and Cheetah Park.
I could have gone there, bam.
Oh, what's that one called?
For,
oh my goodness, I forgot what it's called. I forgot what it's called, but I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, that one. Huh? I could have gone to Wange. Everything plus more. Wange, you go to bed, the elephant is by your window. It's there, by your window. You give it an apple. There you go, buddy. Right there.
I remember going to Mana Pools. We were having a braai and just outside the range of the light from the fire of the braai, the hyenas were waiting for us to throw bones from them, from the meat we were cooking. Mm. It doesn't sound safe at all. You're very right. I kept asking, guys, are we safe? This doesn't feel safe. And we're like, yeah, we do this all the time. It's fine. I was like, it's just that I can see the hyena. They're like right there. Should we maybe go indoors? No, yeah, it's
and like, there's no fence. Wall, like these hyenas ain't got a leash.
Full grown hyenas just outside the firelight at Mana Pools. They're like, no, this is a unique game park, you know, where the animals roam free with the humans. It's fine. Well, I'm still alive, but I didn't feel comfortable with it.
No, I don't play those games. So like there's one time they were like, oh no, there's a python. But the thing. I immediately locked the door and I was like, nope, I don't do that. I don't play. We don't play that over here, buddy.
So, Philip, I don't want to talk about the whole Oscars, but I just want to talk about one thing. Do you believe that Hollywood has a humiliation ritual and that John Cena had to go through his and that's why he was naked on the stage?
I think so, Dan. I think the signs have been there. If anything, Cat Williams told us this. This is the year of truth, and it's now being exposed. This humiliation ritual, because with the black man, you've got to wear the dress. The white man, you've got to pretend to show your pee-pee. It's facts, it's science. Think about it. Also, that border's really small.
Oh, he's just really big. Pause. I mean, as his body size. His body size is what I mean.
Wait, what?
Wait, so... I mean, I saw the clips circulating beforehand, right? And then I was like, I don't like this. But when I watched the full show,
Didn't feel right.
I still don't like it. And I still think it's not great taste and whatever. But like when I did watch the full thing, I was like, it feels a little bit more like a joke that didn't quite land. But I'm not completely opposed to the conspiracy theory. I think there's some conspiracy theories that make sense. I don't know if I believe this one. I don't think so. I don't know if I fully believe this one. And I'm asking you because I just want to know, do people really believe it apart from like crazy people on Twitter and stuff? Do people really believe that there's a humiliation ritual that you have to go through if Hollywood will make you successful? I don't know, man.
I think also sometimes we just have to reduce some things to this.
Occam's razor. Right?
Dan, do you believe there are people who are powerful who abuse that power and use it to control
people? I do believe so.
Okay. So is it far-fetched that if I am a major producer, or let's say even I have a fetish for muscle-bound men, in John Cena's case. I'm like, listen.
You said this is the simplest form.
I'm going to, yeah. No, I'm serious. Like, listen, oh, you want to be a star? Bet. Walk on stage naked. Show me how badly you want it. And then John Cena walks on stage naked. It's crazy. Like, I made you walk out naked. Like, you're my bitch now. Anyway, here are your movie roles. Is that possible?
I don't think it's impossible. I do think it's possible, but I don't think it's probable. I wouldn't, if news came out that this is actually what happened, I wouldn't be completely surprised. But as it stands now, I feel like it's less likely than Jimmy Kimmel and John Cena and the writing team were sitting down and like, what would be funny? Imagine if you're doing the announcement for best costume and you're actually wearing nothing. That would be hilarious. Would you do it? Nah, man, I don't know. I don't think that. It's like, no, but think about it. man, I mean, on top of that, you'd be proud of your body, wouldn't you? Nah, but that feels kind of weird because everyone will be, no, think about it, man. Okay, so what we'll do, I mean, he wasn't butt naked, right? He had a little modesty suit thingy that was on. It was there in like the behind the scenes footage. And they're like, nah, man, we'll make you wear that thing. So there's no chance of like anything really being shown. And it will just be like a funny bit. All right, good. Let's give it a try. To me, that sounds more feasible. Not to say the other one is impossible. I do think it's possible. But that one just sounds more possible to me. That it was just several people thinking, don't you think it would be funny if we did this? Because I don't know, man. I do think that there's powerful people in Hollywood and in business and so on that control people. But this just didn't feel like that. Maybe it, you know, I don't know. It just didn't feel like that to me.
Didn't feel like
You know, you got to trust your intuition. So you got to trust your intuition.
Brother, you need to wake up, my brother. You need to smell.
Well, as expected, Oppenheimer won Best Picture, in case you're wondering. Cillian Murphy won Best Actor in a Leading Role. And Best Actor in a Supporting Role, Robert Downey Jr. So a clean sweep from Oppenheimer. But Poor Things also won a bunch of things as well. A bunch of Oscars.
I don't think I watched any movies that won Oscars.
You have to watch Oppenheimer.
But apparently you have to watch it like on the big screen.
So obviously, if you have access to that, then do it. I watched it at the Labia Theater, as I've already told you, in Cape Town. And it was a great experience.
The what?
Labia Theater.
So you were inside the Labia?
Yeah. And it was a great thing. Shout out to everyone who won and stuff like that. But the thing about the Oscars that always makes me interested is I barely recognize most of the movies. And it makes me think like, I want to watch some of these movies because there's probably like really well-made movies with great stories and whatever, but they just don't have as much shine as other movies. And I should check them out so I can actually have an opinion about some of these other things. Like Anatomy of a Fall. I don't know if it's a good movie. American Fiction. I don't know if it's a good movie. The Holdovers. I have no idea. I probably never would watch it until I see it on the Oscar thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I should check it out. I will.
All right, cool. Dad, I'm not going to lie.
It's
time we wrap it up because I
am 100% on board with that. So in the words.
Listeners, what we're going to do is we're going to make up for this. We're going to give you guys a little bonus coverage. Shout out to our latest subscriber, Tawanda. Tawanda hopped on board at the Mbinga tier off the bat.
Bam! Tawanda. Something very wild. I don't really want to talk about it because I don't know much about it. But if you are ever curious about what's happening in Zim, just Google the situation about Madzibaba Ishmael. It's a wild cult situation that you would expect to see in a Netflix show about something crazy, like graves being discovered and bunch of children discovered with like no birth certificates. It's just wild. It's happening in Zim right now, and I'm just like, yo, what on earth is going on? So yeah, check that out. Apart from that, I would like to end the show, Philip. I would like to put a song that's been an earworm for the past week. And it's a Ghana, Nigeria, South Africa, Zimbabwe collaboration. J5, Low J, Tyler ICU, and Shasha. It's called Dishonest. And it's been stuck in my mind. So dishonest. Very cool tune. So I'm going to tuck this on the end. Producer, you know what to do. But apart from that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you very much for tuning in to another episode of Two Broke Twimbles. This is something that, listen, this is sheer determination and grit that we gave you an hour plus episode just for your enjoyment. So please continue to subscribe. TwoBrokeTwimbles.com/donate allows you to join the Patreon tier. Show us your financial muscle and become Mbinga tier patron. Or if you can't afford it, we understand, you know, times are tough. You can also just pay just $5 for the entry tier and we will add you to the Patreon group where we have great discussions. We've been neglecting it a little bit recently, Phil, for understandable reasons. But, you know, shout out to everyone that's out there in the Patreon group. The conversations still keep going. There's cool stuff that always comes up in there. But really, the real benefit of paying that $5 is just to support your favorite podcast and we would greatly appreciate it. The WhatsApp group is just a nice little bonus that we try to add. And sometimes we have cool content that's specifically just for you. We should have done that for this episode. But like I said, this is just a bam, bam, bam episode. So yeah, twobroketwimbles.com/donate. Go there now. Subscribe to be a Patreon subscriber. And we would greatly appreciate it. And we can bring you more stuff. Shout out to Hannah for answering our call. And thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you guys for supporting us. We continue to rise and fly high, unlike a Boeing plane.
On that note, we will catch you on the next one. We out.
Hallelujah, I put all my prayers in your holy altar. Like your Lord, hanging on forever after. But you only wanna be a paper chaser. And I want to look right into the field of grace now. Heaven send me fire, cause I'm fighting Satan. In my heart alone, it's like my moon intense, don't be the sun. Tears they pouring down like ocean water. Gallery, I'll show you how to sing your name. You jealous, I'm dishonest, but it's always me to say that you're sorry.